Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Hello, Pastor Kevin.
Hello, hello, and good morning, good day to you. Good to be here.
Yes.
How you doing, Ryan?
I am doing well.
Yeah.
How about you?
Oh, I'm loving life.
That's good.
Miss my kids. They live all over the world.
Yeah.
But hey, you know what? Everybody's missing their kids nowadays, except for the ones that live in your house.
Right?
Yeah.
Those whose kids live in their house are maybe missing grandparents a little bit right now.
Somebody just to shuffle them off to for once in a while, just to get a breath.
Yeah. I saw on Facebook a meme. It was funny. I'm so tired of babysitting my mom's grandkids.
That's right. That's a good way to look at it. There were definitely days we felt like that too. No doubt. Gotta love those little rugrats.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. But we're moving forward in our openings. Things opened up a bit more yesterday.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of forward momentum, which is nice.
It does. You know, it was actually kind of inspiring to kind of even hear the words, they've opened up a lot more. And you're like, oh, that feels good. I didn't even know what it was.
Oh, and
after you hear what it was, like, oh, wasn't that great? Yeah. It could be better. I'm looking for a little more open.
Right.
I had a different idea of open, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way it is. Right. That's what we live in right now.
Well, Sunday we started a new series.
Yes.
Looking at the suffering servant.
Yes.
Of Isaiah 53, which you mentioned actually begins in 52. I always heard the joke that whoever did the chapter and verse markers was probably riding a horse, and just every time the horse bounced, the pin would come down and mark the next verse. So it almost seemed like that happened here in chapter 53.
Quite randomly, hey?
Yes.
Yeah, I would probably have added the last three verses of chapter 52 to chapter 53 and started there, because it does no justice the way they've done it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would say that you have this idea just because of the way chapters work. You know, if you read a normal book, chapter usually means a break and a new thought.
That's right.
And yet in this case, what happens is it ends on a new thought and then you get to that chapter break and it's like a whole nother process that you're disconnected, but you shouldn't, you know, it's really just one thought continuous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Sunday was one of those days where, oh, there was so much material.
Yeah.
It's like you can preach that passage and there's so much in the scriptures. You know, I kept cutting back verses because there's so many.
Right, and I think because you are introducing
this
series, there's so much to say in terms of introduction.
Yeah, yeah, definitely true. Yeah, even just the simple things like understanding that this is written in Hebrew prose.
Right.
So it's a prophetic, it's a prophetic word, but it's written very like a poetic word, you know, like you, and you have to kind of put it together and where you emphasize, where the emphasis needs to go. And you're looking at Hebrew into English. And so you get different meanings.
Right.
It actually is quite a different bird, I think, to try. And I loved it. It was sort of refreshing to go through the study because you have to unpackage what the Hebrew is, which is very different from Greek.
Right.
Yeah. Greek is like totally broken down into everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, five words for love, that kind of thing, right?
Whereas Hebrew, it's more like one word can have five different meanings.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
so
the opposite.
A context is everything, and it helps you shape. It actually shapes something rather than specifically gives you words. It actually creates a picture or a shape of something, and how the Hebrew works. So it is very different. So I just encourage all you Bible readers out there. You know, when you go to read the Old Testament, please ask God to help you understand that it's written to usually in Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the way through it's Hebrew.
Yeah.
And if you understand that it's written to a culture that's hundreds, thousands even years old, it helps you right away think differently about what it is you're reading. And of course, understanding some of the context, even of the historical times that they were written in and what was going on, you know, when did Isaiah prophesy? When was he around? What king?
Yeah.
Well, the very first chapter tells you in the year that King Uzziah died,
right,
I saw the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So you understand, oh, okay, so it was during that time. So you can actually go into First Chronicles, you can go into right. Kings.
You can see what is actually going on.
Exactly. You can kind of build a body of knowledge that puts you into the time.
Right. And I think that's huge because, again, because these prophecies were given in a certain time, a certain situation,
yeah.
Those are needed to fully understand what they're saying
mm-hmm.
so that you don't take it out of context and mm-hmm. be claiming a promise that is actually meant differently than the way you're taking it.
Right. Yes. It's still God's word. So right. it still has the living, active, you know, sharper than any two-edged sword kind of
right.
in it.
Definitely.
So you still can have fresh meanings for today, but you need to take them from the context.
That's right.
And I think sometimes, like, I remember there's one that comes to mind quickly, and that is when Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he will go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard lots of people use that as a promise.
Mm-hmm.
If I do this, then this will happen.
Right.
But that's not how it's written. It's written as a proverb.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very different sort of kettle of fish.
Right.
Even though it sounds like a promise, it's mm-hmm. actually written as a proverb, which means more than likely it will happen that way.
Right.
No guarantee.
Right.
Right. So yeah. These are wise sayings.
Right.
If you train them young, older, they'll not depart from mm-hmm. it. And that's what you hope for. That's what you plan for. That's mm-hmm. probably going right. to happen, but there's no guarantee. It's not right. a promise. You can't take it to the bank. Say, you right. promised.
Yeah.
No, actually, I made a wise statement.
Right.
So you can definitely get sort of twisted a little bit mm-hmm. in your understanding because you mm-hmm. lean heavily on something. And even things like how you know, you go through the first three chapters of Genesis, and it's been debated for how long, for mm-hmm. hundreds of years.
Right.
You know, well, how come there's two different stories at the beginning, chapter one versus chapter two?
Mm-hmm.
So how did all that transpire? And you have to see them as working together while right. at the same time understanding they are different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of little techniques that you can use. But I think the main thing is when you're dealing with Hebrew, understand the context. You got to go with what's there.
Right.
Another thing that happens, especially in prophetic ones, is the pronouns change. So he'll be talking in the first person for a little while, suddenly change to the third person.
Mm-hmm.
And it can throw you off and you'll be like, hold on, I'm lost now. Who's talking to who here?
Right.
So you've got to really pay attention to the mm-hmm. pronouns and the and sort of where it's going, first person, third person, all right. that kind of stuff. It does take a little more work. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe why I enjoyed it.
Right.
You know, because it does take a bit more brain scratching
yeah.
to let the flavor of the Hebrew. And because I spend so much time in the New Testament, which is very different
mm-hmm.
from the Old Testament that way.
Right.
You definitely can feel a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And so hopefully you who are listening, take this as an encouragement,
yeah.
not as a discouragement.
No, right. Exactly.
God still speaks through his word. You can hear
yeah.
God's voice through his word.
Yes, you can.
But also a challenge to dive deep.
Yeah.
Don't just go for the mm-hmm. surface.
That's right.
Dive deep. You read a prophecy. Think, when was this? Mm-hmm. Let me read about what was going on in that time. Not as, you know, being afraid, oh, I'm going to mess everything up, but just as an exciting way that you can gain more of an understanding mm-hmm. of the truth of who God is, of his promises, of how he's worked yeah. and continues to work today.
Yeah, for sure. Don't be discouraged by
yeah.
it. Yeah. I think we lose when we, like, I think if you just only spend your time in the New Testament, it's great. And
right.
praise God for it, mm-hmm. right? But I think you do lose something if you mm-hmm. don't somehow incorporate some digestion in your soul and spirit from the Old Testament.
Right.
You know, the Jewish Bible, as some mm-hmm. people, or the Older Testament, as some people are calling
right.
it nowadays. But it's definitely the Hebrew Bible. And, mm-hmm. You know, even if you were to go to a synagogue today,
yeah.
they would be teaching from the passages that you'd be reading,
that's right.
their Hebrew Bible.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's lost or it's of no value.
Right. I mean, even you read in the Psalms of how they meditate on God's word and how it fills them and brings them great joy.
Yep.
And, so there's obviously value in it. Mm. Much to be found.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Well, which would be the case here too.
Yes.
We were talking earlier a little bit about the fact that definitely You know, the chapter part falls in a weird place.
Yeah.
But what comes before the verses in that we looked at this last Sunday in chapter 52 mm-hmm. is so a bit bewildering.
It is
the way it's written. You know, it's a little bit like it's like a huge party is being announced. This great right. thing that's going to take place. Mm-hmm. This great, powerful, exciting, joyful. Sing about it, dance about it, right. get your clothing different, like change yeah. into your royal robes, get your good stuff on, you know, and but when you finally get to the corner and you actually get to see what he's talking about a slave.
Yeah.
And it somehow you're like, what just
Where
happened?
Did that come
yeah,
from?
Like left field? Yes, definitely left field. Mm-hmm. Because the way it's building up and the strong arm of the Lord, verse 10, right. is going to be revealed. And you think, oh, the Messiah, the King,
right.
he's going to set them all. He's going to kick out all these right. Gentiles and Israel's going to be back the way it should be. And then it's like a slave.
Behold my slave.
Mm, yeah. It doesn't quite compute. And it's easy to understand. Like we talked about this a little bit on Sunday, but it mm-hmm. is definitely easy to understand how Jesus was misunderstood.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they were definitely expecting someone that would fit the bill from 52 to verse 13, right? 52:1 to verse 13
yeah.
was all about the, or verse 12, I guess it would mm-hmm. be, it was all about the wow factor. You
right.
know, this is going to be amazing and yeah. join the movement mm-hmm. and, you know, and then it's like, what? What right. just happened? You know,
yeah, you can understand why in the Gospels you read how over and over it says the disciples did not understand.
Yep.
Every time Jesus spoke of his suffering and death,
yep.
the disciples did not understand. And, you know, part of it is to think, come on, guys, like, it's so clear what he's saying. But then you think that lines up nothing with the ideas that they had been taught about what the Messiah was supposed to be.
Yeah, true enough. I can definitely, I can feel it. Like, I think I would have been no different than anyone else
oh, yeah.
if I was plunked down looking at this guy. And
right.
who is this guy? You know, like... Yeah. You know, in verse 53, you get the impression even like he wasn't even like a, like nothing about him was attractive.
Right.
So how am I following you? Or
yeah.
you know, like, what are you saying? You know, this whole thing of suffering and death at the hands of our leaders. And we've been talking about it on Wednesday night Bible studies. You
right.
know, we have our Gospel of Mark happening. And it's been very obvious. Like it's so clear. That even when they did say the right thing, they still didn't understand said, what they yeah, were saying.
Even when Peter confessed, you are the Christ.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Jesus went on to explain what that meant, and Peter rebuked him.
Right.
And then, of course, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it brings it into really sharp focus.
It does.
From Isaiah
right.
52.
You mentioned Sunday
yeah.
That Peter was rebuked by saying, Jesus saying, you have... in your mind, the thoughts of man, not the thoughts of God.
Yeah.
I think that's so clearly shown in chapter 52. Mm. Man's thoughts on what mm-hmm. 52 is preparing for you mm-hmm. is very different than God's thoughts
yeah.
of what 52 is leading you to.
Right. 52:13-15 is what we
right.
looked at. And definitely a whole different picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very exciting. Like like I said to you, I had so much fun. Diving into this and kind of getting my brain to start functioning just a slight bit different
mm-hmm.
because it is from an ancient text and
right.
you have to treat it that way. You can't read it like you're reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
Well, you can, but I think you might get lost.
Yeah.
So we looked at the way it turned the corner on verse 13 where it says, see my servant. And we even talked about that mm-hmm. oftentimes even the translators will take prophetic words and soften them just a little.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they did it on purpose or whatever, but I guess they kind of think through how culturally people accept things, right? And I remember when I was in Bible school, we came to a passage that actually used the crude word for crap.
Oh,
right. It was a crude word.
Mm-hmm.
And how they translated it was that it was garbage,
oh,
right?
Okay.
Or it wasn't, or refuge, you know,
right.
or refuse rather.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, they softened the term.
Right.
It still means the same thing, but it right. doesn't quite have that same pow,
right,
or that little punch in your gut, because it's like, ooh, that's offensive, you know, and because God is actually trying to offend your sensibilities. And so when you soften something, you actually take away that edginess, you know, and instead of calling this, you know, the suffering servant, which sounds actually even poetically beautiful, but if you say the suffering slave. Now that's got a little
harsh.
That's a bit harder. Yeah. And how does that fit? You know, because you can be served by someone and they don't have to be your slave to do it. But if they're a slave, they are slaving and you are the master. They have no will.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he comes to here, is that he's going to send his slave. So I thought, you know, even that little turn of phrase already sets you on a course where, okay, this is going to be a little different than just talking about a nice slave, a servant. It's going to talk about this thing that happened to the slave. And then he talks about this whole idea that he'll be raised high, lifted high. Mm-hmm. So he's got a slave that's going to become something, right? He's going to move from kind of being on the bottom to going to the top.
Right.
And even the way it's worded is kind of like high, highest, and high.
Right.
No,
yeah.
High, higher, and highest. Mm. So he's going to go, behold my slave. Look at the bottom. Mm-hmm. He's going to act wisely, and he's going to go from there to the highest place.
Yeah.
Well, what does that all mean?
Yeah.
And how is that going to happen? Mm-hmm. Because the rest of it tells us how it's going to happen.
Right. So disfigured, you could hardly recognize that he was a man.
And that's a bit shocking. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, I have imagery even in my head that doesn't quite go that far.
No.
You know, the way this is written, obviously it's poetic pose. You have to keep that in mind. So while it is saying that he was disfigured beyond any human being, you have to put that in its context, but still, that's brutal to think that Jesus hung on that cross and he wasn't even recognizable as a man. He was so ripped apart. You know, like the spear going into his side, you think, well, how much flesh was even there? You know, like, you know, so disfigured, you know, and you think of, you know, his bowels, you know, like his intestines and everything could have easily been hanging out, like because of the ripping of the flesh of that Roman whip.
Yeah.
So as bad as we've heard it, you know, and I've heard it, you know, some people really get into the whole gore thing, you know, ripping chunks of flesh off. As bad as I've heard it in the past, this seemed to paint a picture that was even more desperate, even more shocking.
Right. And I think we shouldn't turn away from that.
Yeah.
God shocks us for a reason and a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something to recognize and even sit there a bit and think.
Yeah.
What did this suffering servant, the suffering slave, actually go through?
Mm-hmm. One of the things I struggled with was the whole thing of suffering. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you can walk away from that passage. And I think later on, too, in chapter 53, later on, it says it was actually God's pleasure to crush him.
Yeah.
And you think, hold on, how do we put that kind of suffering and work it into, like, you know, you knead yeast into bread, that kind of feel to it, where it works into how you think about your life daily. Mm-hmm. You know, put it in perspective of pandemic.
Right.
Okay, we've had a few infringements.
Yeah.
And we think it's the end of the world. But it's nothing like what this is.
No, not at all.
Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we, like, one of the things that I had, like, at the end of it, I talked a little bit about the whole idea of suffering and how, you know, C.S. Lewis was really great at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God, he whispers to us in our pleasure. Mm-hmm. He speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts to us in our pain.
Yeah.
And then later he says that pain is God's megaphone to the deaf world. And okay, put it in that terms. Okay, now I can begin to kind of picture.
Yeah.
That it had to be horrible because sin is horrible.
That's right.
And I think sometimes we soften sin.
Oh, absolutely.
Not even sometimes, probably most times, we try to dress it up.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be adulterous activity. You used to commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became having an affair.
Right.
well, one is actually quite nice.
Right. Oh, yeah.
The other is like committing adultery is not right. good. Mm-hmm. So you can see even how we couch our words Definitely. In our language, in English.
Right.
To make it sound not quite so bad, you know, we're living in sin, or, well, we just had to live in the same house together, so we might as well, you right. know. Mm-hmm. And you're like, hold on. So you've kind of lost that edge, mm-hmm. you know, and this doesn't let you get away with it.
No.
It shouts at you.
That's right. Mm. And to see the beauty that grace is, you have to see the ugliness of sin.
Yeah.
You have to understand the magnitude of what Jesus did on the cross. You have to understand the magnitude of sin.
Yep.
This suffering, this, you know, being disfigured, what we don't like to think of that.
Yeah.
But when we do, we come face to face with the fact that it needed to be that way mm-hmm. because sin is that ugly.
Yeah, that's true. Like you could actually take the word sin. Mm-hmm. If you were to put sin there, mm-hmm. you know, you could be appalled at yeah. sin. The appearance, you can be disfigured mm-hmm. beyond recognition
yeah,
because of sin. And you can be transformed, marred. You can be like made to look ugly mm-hmm. because of sin.
Yeah.
So he took all of that on in his body. So you couldn't mistake it. Mm-hmm. Right? It was there staring you in the face. Yeah. The most horrible thing that could happen to someone in terms of like dying that way. What a mm-hmm. terrible, painful death, torturous yeah. death. He took all of that. And the suffering that he has was like a megaphone saying sin is real. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be dealt with in the most brutal way.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it is brutal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it is. And I think we've got to be careful we don't get away from that.
Yeah.
Especially in, you know, a society where you can't offend somebody.
Right.
Don't offend anybody. Don't offend anybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sin is offensive.
Totally.
Sin is ugly. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus had to do to atone for that sin, to pay the price for that sin,
yeah.
is ugly. And it isn't easy to look at and is offensive to think about.
Yeah.
And that's good. Mm-hmm. I think we could do with a bit of offense. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Yeah. I think our culture is very much trying to hide what reality is. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think even the cancel culture,
yeah.
all that stuff, even Black Lives Matter maybe had good beginnings, or it had something intentional that was trying to say, hey, Black people are being hurt, mm-hmm. you know, and that's probably true.
Right.
I don't yeah. know personally, but I'm assuming that there is something there. Mm-hmm. But even then, it can't become something that can become sort of twisted mm-hmm. where you're trying to combat violence with violence. It just right. doesn't work.
Yeah.
And you're trying to combat maybe racism by an outward form. Mm-hmm. You can't change a heart by dressing it any other way.
That's right.
The heart has to change, right? Yeah. And racism mm-hmm. and all that stuff is at the heart. Mm-hmm. It's the ugly stuff
yeah.
that comes out of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we do ourselves a disservice when we don't actually say what it actually is. Mm-hmm. And that it's not just a white person problem.
No.
It is an everybody problem.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think that we can get lost a little bit in the sort of the cultural politics of the day mm-hmm. and try to soften things when mm-hmm. really it is just ugly sin.
Yeah.
It's racism in its raw form. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sad, you know.
It is.
And I don't even know you can say a system is racist. I don't even know if you can say that because it's yeah. not the heart.
That's right. It has to come back to heart
it
of people.
It has to be the heart, yeah.
And the heart of people needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And the way to do that isn't through violence. Mm-mm. Jesus dealt with it.
Right.
And he dealt with it by suffering.
No, through violence. He was treated right. violently.
Right. He didn't come in violence. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He came in...
He was the object
experience. He was the object yeah. of the violence.
Yeah. He took it on himself.
Yeah.
Everything, all our sin, including its ugly violence.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing there on that, mm-hmm. you know, in this story, this right. way this is written. Yeah. and then it goes on to even to talk about how like you talk about how the Hebrew has different words. Mm-hmm. And in my version of NIV, it says that he will sprinkle many nations, mm-hmm. and kings will shut their mouths because mm-hmm. of him. And I when I first read it, when I was preparing for the messages, I kind of was stuck there. I like the fact mm-hmm. that somebody finally is going to shut up these politicians, you know? Somebody's going to cause these people who talk endlessly
right.
about everything, stuff they don't know. They make stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, these are the talking heads. Mm-hmm. They talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
Yeah.
And finally, someone is coming to shut their mouths. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I kind of sat there for a little while right. going, all right.
All right. Let's see that happen. Yes.
Bring it fast.
Right.
But at the same time, there's something in it that I think was very fascinating. And that is the exact reason why I was attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
They talk too much. There's mm-hmm. way too much yakking, too much talk. But when this happens, they will stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, wow, that is quite something.
Yeah.
Because it will actually be so shocking to them. Now, what is shocking to them? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Right.
Right. Is it the guy that they can't even recognize and that God's way of dealing with sin was so shocking it shut their mouths, like mm-hmm. they couldn't figure it out, that this was yeah. a king hanging on a cross? That doesn't work. It doesn't right. compute.
Mm-hmm.
Which would bring out the word sprinkle.
Mm-hmm.
He was acting, Jesus on that cross was acting as a priest. He was taking our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And in its place, he was going through the blood lines, like right. it, like the word sprinkle comes from the Old Testament sacrifices,
right?
That the priest would sprinkle everything with blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a sign of consecration, a sign of holiness, sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's sprinkled the nation simply means that he's bringing forgiveness
yeah.
to the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world,
yeah.
right? So he's bringing his son for that reason. And so he can sprinkle the nations, and that will be shocking to people that this is how you find freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is it changes it from sparkle to, what was it? It just went out of my brain.
Startle.
Startle, yeah, yes. That's right. So the other translations will say startle.
Yes.
But both are right because it's a Hebrew word that allows both things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like surprise, right. you know, shocker.
Yeah.
and so what happens there is you can see, all right, so if we take what happens on the cross and we apply it to this king, that he actually is a king.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back again, he will carry with him a sword.
That's right.
The first time he came, what was he? He was a robe, like a towel, right? A servant, a yes. slave.
Yeah.
The next time he comes, he will be with a sword.
Right.
He'll be a king.
Mm-hmm.
And it does say in Revelation, I love that passage, where the yeah. kings and the princes and everybody
right.
crying out to the rocks yeah. and yeah. running into the caves mm-hmm. and saying, cover us with rocks. We don't want to yeah. face the wrath of the Lamb.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, that is the greatest phrase.
It is.
You know, I can't remember the last time I met a really wrathful lamb.
Right?
But again, it applies so beautifully to this passage because Jesus is the Lamb that takes away the sin
That's
of the
right.
world.
Mm-hmm.
And he is coming with great wrath. And that shut their mouths,
mm-hmm.
that they're freaking out at him
yeah.
because he's going to come back in such power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think where you left us is great with that challenge of reaching out to our neighbors and our loved ones so that they can worship the suffering servant, so they can mm-hmm. worship the king before they are forced to.
Yes.
Where one day every knee will bow before mm-hmm. him.
Mm-hmm.
But so much more peace and joy and hope yeah. comes when you bow before him now.
Absolutely. That's yeah. where freedom has come mm-hmm. from, eh? Yeah, because you will have to one day confess that he is Lord.
That's right.
Either you do it now and enjoy the fruit.
Right.
Or you do it later when it's too late to enjoy yeah. the fruit, but you still have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which would you prefer?
Yeah? Yeah.
So our job is to get out there and tell people mm-hmm. wherever we can that this is coming, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why maybe Easter is such a special time,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we look forward to the cross yeah. and we look forward to that resurrection Sunday
mm-hmm.
so that we can be set free.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to continuing the series.
Yeah.
I look forward to walking through this.
Yep. We're going to carry on for the next few weeks.
All right.
As we anticipate the Holy Weekend, Easter awesome. Weekend.
Well, until next time. Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.